roast beef was good, wasn't it? Omen
Podcast After Dark
starts now.
Isn't any rule that says that I can't come over here and fart on your entree? Welcome to Home Podcast After Dark, the Home Podcast podcast. My name is Adam. You all know my co-host, Jordan. Jordan, I got something to say, and I'm saying it directly to you, mister. You're in big trouble.
Big trouble. I've never felt more in trouble than after I watched this movie, so I'm worried you're going to fart on my plate. I'm worried that we're going to have to talk about this for an hour, and I might not make it through, but we'll see how it goes.
The character's name who says that is Dennis Farina, playing Henry DeSalvo. Just one of the many great character names in this work of art. Jordan, in the words of...
Snake?
Dr. Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park, they were so busy trying to decide what to do that they never asked if they should do it. It's not exactly the quote, but pretty close.
It gets the gist of it, yeah. It's the ethics of this movie.
Yeah, for sure. We are talking Big Trouble, which is a movie with Tim Allen that came out in 2002. And
I didn't know this existed, actually, until you told me about it.
Big Trouble, you know what I call it? Big stinker.
You said not to tip your hat, but you're tipping your hat pretty quickly.
Well, you know what?
You know what we could do?
What's that?
I'm on Wikipedia right now, and it seems like there's multiple things that say Big Trouble. Do you want to just cover other things named Big Trouble?
Big Trouble in Little China comes to mind, obviously.
Well, yeah, but there it looks like there's some like newspapers and books and stuff.
Okay. Maybe for a next time on Podcast After Dark, this one we've got our work cut out for us here. Jordan, the reason that I originally thought we should cover this was, and this is a story kind of related to one of my coworkers. She's never going to listen. I don't even think they know I have a podcast.
And they have to pay for it to get to this one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so we're like five steps away, so it's not going to matter. But one of my coworkers, we were in, I was in the UK a month or so ago, and she was talking about like her favorite movies. She's like, oh yeah, we all have movies that we watch with our families. We're talking like, I said, like, yeah, my family likes to watch The Wizard of Oz. And she's like, yeah, a movie that my family really likes is Big Trouble with
no
Tim Allen.
Frickin' way.
And I was like, I'd heard of it. And she's like, yeah. I said, is it pretty good? She said, yeah, you know, it's pretty good. I think people don't like it because of the 9/11 stuff, but it's funny. I actually have three copies of the DVD at my apartment right now, and I was like, why? And she explained in kind of a long-winded way of why she has all these DVDs, and it's just like, it's stupid, but it's pretty funny.
I like that she is saying it's only okay, but she has three copies of it.
She didn't want to back it too hard, but at the same time, I could tell she's a fan. So
let me just say I wasn't thinking too much about the 9/11 stuff because I didn't read anything beforehand.
Yeah,
it did not matter. It did not make it a better movie without that information.
We'll get to that. But so with that kind of quasi endorsement in mind, I was like, all right, I got to check out this movie because it's got an insane cast. I mean, the cast was solid for 2002.
Definitely.
But, like, looking, like, right now, 2019 or whatever, it's a even crazier cast with what some of these people have gone on to do. Oh, good, there's a car horn going off. how do you want to approach this? We have a lot to talk about.
I want to tell you the first thing that, I will say the one thing that I did like about this movie has nothing to do with this movie, and it's, I was watching it on the Amazon Fire TV, downloaded it there, paid, I don't know, it was like $4.52 or something like that.
Oh, man. I am very sorry about that.
Well, here's the thing. So, for some reason, my TV was having a bunch of trouble and it wasn't working. So, I moved over to the computer and it was working, but it was very quiet. Come to find out, about 3 days later, I get an email from Amazon that says, sorry that you were having trouble watching the movie. We've already refunded you your money.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
I didn't even complain.
Yeah.
I didn't even say anything, and somehow they knew that something went wrong and refunded me the money. So
That's good and bad, I guess. It means they're watching you a little closely, but it also means you didn't have to pay $5 to watch Big Trouble.
That's right. So that I will put that in. I guess I'm going to put it in Big Trouble's good graces.
Jordan, fun story. I watched this on my birthday. I was heading into the office, and it was the only DVD I had on me from the library. So I popped it in, and I thought, I should have watched any other movie as I turned 29, but you know, memorable, I guess.
At least both of us didn't have to pay for it, right?
That's true, yeah.
Just taxes.
Just tax dollars, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, so you talked about how we want to get into this. Let's, first, we'll just do, like, the short taglines. We'll do, like, the short summary, move into the trivia. You know, like you said, there's a lot of stuff going on here. So.
Sure, yeah.
And then, I don't know how much we want to talk through the plot, but we can do broad strokes, and well, I know you've got a couple of questions prepared, so.
Yeah, we'll just come about it organically. Hopefully a lot of the plot, or what we understand of the plot, it's incredibly convoluted and stupid. Mm-hmm. We'll just sort of come through conversation. We won't have to do it beat by beat, because I'm not sure that I really could.
Yeah, I couldn't if I tried. So okay. Let's start with just the short synopsis here. I like the way that Wikipedia puts it, a way I would never put it, but it's a 2002 American gangster comedy film.
This is what Denzel Washington thought he was getting into when he was in the movie American Gangster.
Oh, man. Based on the novel Big Trouble by Dave Barry, a humor, satire, comedy writer, and former Pulitzer Prize winner. How do you like that?
Now, Jordan, you don't know this, but next month I'm going to, in Minneapolis, I'm going to a literary festival because Stephen King's going to be there. And Dave Barry is one of the featured guests.
How do you like that?
So is there anything you want me to get to him while I'm there? Any specific questions?
Well, you know what you could do?
Yeah.
The funny thing about this movie in this book is I'm sure this is something that comes through better in like literature than it would on a screen.
So but... I was thinking that, but it can't be that much better.
Well, it's funny because so there's this genre of book that my father-in-law really likes. So it's like Carl Hiaasen, Dave Barry, and he actually wrote a book that's pretty similar. It's, you know, all this stuff, weird, wacky stuff, and it all comes together and they all tie together or whatever. So what I'd really like you to do is buy a copy of my father-in-law's book that I edited and made the cover for, and then go ahead and present it to him.
Your father-in-law wrote a book?
Oh, yeah, he's written like three now. Are you going to leave reviews for them like you do mine?
If they're good. I mean, I don't know. It depends on if they're good. What's the title?
All right, so he's got three.
Also, keep it to... This is not... Unless he's paying us money for this endorsement, like, let's keep it short, okay? But I do want to know that. So your father-in-law is writing Dave Barry-esque. I also equate this a little bit with Elmore Leonard, which I guess I'll talk about later. But Elmore Leonard is an author that... Well, I'll talk about Get Shorty, which is the better version of this movie. But go ahead.
All right, so the first one is called The Incident. Okay. It takes you'll like this though. It does take place in Houghton Lake.
I do like that. Yeah,
I could probably get you a free copy if you want. So.
I would love a free copy. Yeah, quick. What is the like? Just a quick summary.
Well, I'm on the Amazon page right now, so I can just. It says, after Clemson Armbruster is abandoned by his mother and father in Houghton Lake, he fends for himself by running a nightcrawler business and a salvage operation with only a bike for transportation. A series of zany events unfold that change Clem's life forever and enable him to exact karmic justice against Benji Tyler, who years before caused Clemson to endure a horrifying and traumatic incident.
That does sound like this. A couple notes. Well, not notes, but thoughts. Bike... Just a bike at Houghton Lake, you're in trouble, man. That's some rocky terrain.
Well, luckily, I mean, I don't want to give anything away about the incident.
He gets
an upgrade pretty quick, so that's good.
Does he get some wheels?
The second book that...
Hey, I said keep it to one. I'm not joking. You talk about the other one another time.
Oh, hey, the third one's based on the Flint water crisis.
God, why would you tell me all of this?
Why
would you tell me this now?
How are you going to get away from that
one? So this is your wife's dad.
Yeah, I helped him edit all these things.
How long are they?
They're novel length. They're impressive. Yeah, they're impressive words, word length, word count. I mean, they're good. They're good stories. They're not my necessarily type of books, but they fit right in with like the Dave Barry, Carl Hiaasen type of.
Is he selling copies?
You know, he's not pushing them enough. That's the problem. I'm trying to get him to do some more marketing, but he's busy. You know, he doesn't have time for that right now. But
thought he was retired.
Well, no, he's working. He's, oh, okay. He works full time. So.
Oh, never mind. Well, there's clearly a lot I don't know about your father-in-law.
No.
And you know what? I think that is big trouble for me.
That is
back
big
to
trouble.
The movie.
Back
all
to
right.
Big Trouble, Trouble, Trouble.
That's crazy. That was good. That was good. That was worthwhile. Man, I did not know. That's crazy.
So if you can get the incident and pass it along to Dave Barry, that'd be great.
Clemson Arm Brewster?
Yeah, there's also a second one, a sequel to that coming out. Sometimes, so
Clemson's Revenge.
We'll find out. Do you want me to read the IMDb short synopsis of this film?
Sure.
The lives of several Miami denizens, from ad agents to gun runners to street thugs to law enforcement to school children, intersect with humorous and dangerous results.
That's crazy. Sorry, something turned on my computer while you were talking. this is a fly-by-day operation. Humorous results. Yeah, sure, man. Yeah, that's I guess, how you would describe this. Humor is a subjective, and this movie will really remind you of that.
I'm wondering, so I go to Miami on a work trip in about a month and a half.
Hey, man,
do you think,
be careful.
Do you think it's going to be like this?
Watch out for those toads.
I'm worried. I'm definitely worried, so... all right, let's start diving through the trivia. What do you think? Taglines. I'm sorry, taglines.
Yeah, let me do some taglines. All right. Okay, I got three. So, let me go through the taglines. First tagline, these people are in big trouble. And then there's a colon and it's their names.
It lists all their names?
Yeah, the poster for this movie, there's a poster that's actually kind of cool. I don't have a way of sending it to you right now necessarily, but it's like an outline, a silhouette of all of the people in the movie, and then it has numbers, and then the numbers to the right correspond with their names. It's actually probably the coolest thing about the movie. It's just well designed. But that's the first one. Second one, a comedy from the director of Get Shorty and Men in Black. Which, yeah,
not really a tagline, but a description.
It's a description. This is a tagline, however. They have 45 minutes to save the world. They need 46. So, I mean, you know, the Big Trouble one, I guess, is the best one. But
I think I like the third one the best, actually.
Really? Okay, interesting. Yeah, I mean, so the whole time I was watching this movie, I was thinking this is just like Get Shorty. And have you seen Get Shorty?
I have not.
Okay. You should watch it. It's good. It is what this movie, if this movie were to be effective and work and make sense, it would be Get Shorty, but it also has better actors. But yeah, this movie has a definite like Get Shorty vibe. And, I was kind of surprised to find out, or I shouldn't have been surprised to find out that, Barry Levinson, the director? I think it's Barry Levinson. Barry Sonnenfeld, yeah, also directed Get Shorty, so. That is so much better than this movie. That movie is cool. This movie is drool. So what do you got?
Drool. Mm-hmm. All right. So you alluded to the September 11th stuff. The film was scheduled for release in late 2001. It was delayed after the September 11th attacks due to the terrorist plot lines. So we'll talk about it later, but there's a nuclear bomb and stuff. So.
Right. I mean, like you said earlier, I'm not saying that didn't probably hinder this movie's box office and so on, but like, this was never going to be a movie that made very much money. So it's just too zany to be very effective. And I don't know. Even Tim Allen in 2002 isn't probably a major box office draw unless he's in a Santa Claus movie. So yeah, 9/11 is like, it was delayed because of that, but I don't know. It's not like it swallowed the movie whole or anything.
No, definitely not. The good news is that the director, Barry Sonnenfeld, is that how you pronounce his name?
Sure, yeah.
He delivered the film to the studios $1 million under budget.
Yeah, pretty good.
And it showed.
Pretty good. I wonder if that extra million would have made it good. Probably,
yeah. It made a big difference.
Yeah.
All right. Some other interesting ones. There's quite a few. I'm just kind of skipping through a few of them. So... So in the movie, you get Martha Stewart for hallucinations and such.
Yeah.
In the book, it was Elizabeth Dole.
Is that Bob Dole's wife?
I'm guessing. Why didn't they try to pull that one off?
Because in 2002, Martha Stewart was so hot.
Super hot. Pre-prison.
Pre-prison. Yeah, now she's post-prison, still hot.
Yep, all right. You mentioned Get Shorty. Dennis Farina and Rene Russo are both in that. Mm-hmm. Katie Holmes originally was supposed to play the role that Zooey Deschanel plays.
Same movie to me. Doesn't push the needle at all.
DJ Qualls and Zooey Deschanel both starred in The New Guy in the same year.
Let's get through these.
The New Guy and The New Girl?
I watched The New Guy at my birthday party in 2002. So I do have a soft spot for that movie. But yeah, it's not that good. It's better than this, though.
Did you say it was your birthday again?
Yeah, 2002.
So 2002, you watched that movie.
I always watch DJ Qualls movies on my birthday. You didn't know that?
That's weird. That's super weird.
What's another DJ Qualls movie?
I don't know another movie, but he's in The Man in the High Castle.
Road Trip is another DJ Qualls movie. I'm watching that next year. Man in the High Castle, is he a Nazi?
No, he's kind of part of the resistance. Good show. I like that show.
He's, man, and what a resistance he would put up. He weighs like 60 pounds. No.
Hey, he's got some work to
hearts,
do in that.
Hearts and minds, baby. All right. When do you want to talk about this cast? Because it's a crazy cast.
Yeah, well, I think we can talk about it now. I don't see anything else I really want to talk about, so.
Okay. You know, we were talking before, or maybe that was on air. I don't know. It's all blurring together. But this was a good cast in 2002, but in 2019, it's a crazy cast, especially when you consider, like, the subject material. So I'm just going to run through it very, very quickly here. Obviously, we have our patron saint, Tim Allen, Rene Russo, Oscar-nominated Stanley Tucci, Tom Sizemore, who is maybe a pedophile, Johnny Knoxville of Jackass, Dennis Farina, I don't know who Jack Keeler is, Janine Garofalo, Patrick Warburton, Ben Foster, who perhaps has gone on to do some of the best work of the bunch, Zooey Deschanel, Heavy D, rest in peace, Omar Epps, Jason Lee of My Name is Earl fame, one of your favorites, Sophia Vergara, Andy Richter, DJ Qualls of Man in the High Castle, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, like, all jokes aside,
it's a murderer's row.
It really is. It's crazy. And you watch them and you're like, wow, this person's in it.
I did not know there were going to be this many people in it, so it just, like, kept coming.
That's
wild.
Why I saw the poster and I was like, oh, this movie must be okay. There's a lot of good people, but, you know, these people went on to do better things.
Were those Russian people anybody?
Not as far as I knew. Well, yeah, Heavy D. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's a real murderer's row. The movie, well, we shouldn't. Stanley Tucci in this film, gotta be maybe the roughest role he's ever had.
Well, don't step on the question that I want to pose, Jordan. Okay. I'm going to pose it now, and then you can answer at the end. Is I want to know who is the most tarnished by their performance in, or their role in this film, who comes out at the end just, you know, making an absolute fool of themselves, and who comes out unfazed, who kind of, you know, stands tall, much like The Rock and standing tall. Who stands tall at the end of this movie? And, you
the
know,
Rock
like,
wasn't in this movie, which was kind of a surprise to me.
No, he wasn't, but... it would have been better if he was. But yeah, so who is most and least tarnished by the role in this movie? That's what I want to know at the end of the show. So
yeah,
be thinking
about that.
And
I'm going to put to you, who is actually the funniest in this film? In this American gangster comedy?
American gangster. For as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be in Big Trouble. Yeah, okay, good questions. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. Like, I guess we have to do a little bit of plot work. I have a couple of things I want to touch on. So the movie starts with this high school game of killer.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay, so we talked about like 9/11 and stuff, but you can tell this was written before 2002 because there's no way, like,
no.
With Columbine stuff happening in 1999... And that's kind of fresh in my mind because I think the 20-year anniversary, like, just happened. But, like, there's no way in 2002 that this game of, like, killer is happening in any high school. It was just really bizarre. I guess the game – and poor Ben Foster, who's really a great actor and has gone on to be in some of my favorite movies the last, like, 10 years, is just like this – he's Tim Allen's son. He's just like this little twerp. And the game is like, you take a squirt gun and everybody at school is playing it. I was 12 in 2002, so not that far away from high school. this kind of stuff was not happening.
The only thing that was happening was paddles, I feel like.
Sure, paddles. I guess that's that. The paddle thing is like paddled young people.
Incoming freshmen.
Eighth graders, yeah. But this is like a squirt gun game where you just like, to be the killer, you squirt people with squirt guns. It was so obviously written by like an old man and what he thinks high school kids would do. It was kind of crazy.
Do you think he ever went to high school?
I mean, but I think that he was thinking, I don't know what he was thinking, but this is like obviously written by someone very out of touch. So they're playing this game of killer, and that was like terrible. I don't know.
You skipped the start where they talked about Noah, and Jason Lee looks like Jesus, and I was like, this is the last way I thought this movie would start. But
yeah, he does look like Jesus. Jason Lee, he's all right. I don't know. This movie is impossible to describe because there are a gajillion people.
And they all have their own plot lines that you follow. Typically, in movies like this, you got, like, two
ABC
plot lines.
Yeah.
Right. You know? So you're following, like, six here. So, yeah, it's a lot of back and forth and hard to really tie together.
I mean, I guess if I were to try to summarize it, Tim Allen's a loser. But I don't really know why he's a loser. His kid thinks he is. He was a writer who lost his job. Because
and he's divorced, so that's why he's a loser.
Oh, friggin' divorcee is the biggest losers of all. he won't coalesce to, like, his new boss, so he quits.
Well, it's not even... Oh, yeah, you're right, new boss. I was thinking of the business he starts, the advertising business.
That fat guy from...
Richie Rich.
Richie Rich, and he's in some Seinfeld episodes as well. He plays, like, FDR.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that guy wants, like, more boobs. Is that the deal?
Yeah, he's coming.
And who can blame him? No, I'm just
kidding. He's coming to Tim Allen for kind of an ad pitch for, I think it might be a beer, and he wants just a girl with, you know, in her bikini with big boobs and stuff like that. And
Jordan,
Tim's...
when he came in for a little TNA, he thought he was getting Tim Allen, but he was really asking for something else.
Tim Allen instead is trying to go classy, and it just doesn't work.
What do you think Tim Allen... I guess he's probably excited to get offered this role. It's a lead in a movie with a million people that are famous.
Yeah, I think the only thing that maybe sold these people is like, hey, this other person's going to be in it. Who do you think?
And Get Shorty. Probably like, how would you like your own version of Get Shorty, done by the guy that just did Men in Black, which Men in Black was...
Men in Black 2, I think.
He did both. He did all three, actually. But at this point, he'd done at least the first two. Men in Black 2 sucks, but Men in Black, the first one, is cool. I mean, I guess he's probably excited. In any case, like, all right, you got a gajillion people, but Tim Allen's son goes over to Zooey Deschanel's house, and she lives in a mansion. Her dad's Stanley Tucci, and her mom is Renee Russo. Renee Russo is, I like her a lot. She's cool. Not really, she's fine in this movie, but she's good in all her stuff. And they're playing this game of killer, and it's just like, the whole movie is just like misunderstandings, basically. Nobody knows quite enough, and the plot just keeps on moving. Stanley Tucci is like, what is he, like a Wall Street guy, would you say? I don't know.
Yeah, he's got some sort of job, and he's embezzling from that company. So in the opening scene where Ben Foster is about ready to shoot Zooey Deschanel, there's also these actual hitmen there who are trying to kill Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, for sure.
Which makes it sound more serious than it is.
There is not a single part of this movie that's serious, even when they have a bomb on an airplane that's about to go off. You're still not that worried about it. I don't know. Things keep moving. Happening.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, there's... Sofia Vergara plays the maid at that house, and she, runs outside.
When she's sucking Stanley Tucci's toes, and I was
watching... So weird.
And I was watching it on the train, I was like, if somebody looks over right now and sees what I'm watching... I'm going to get arrested when I get off.
That's when you just just flip over your phone or whatever you're watching on.
I know, I should have. It was, I felt bad for her because it's really her. Yeah, like, I wonder if she thinks about that now. She's like, man, remember before I was really famous when I had to suck toes on camera? That's not great.
Not ideal. So she's, like, running outside, running away from this terrible human being that Stanley Tucci is playing.
Yeah, right.
And she runs into the homeless Jesus, Jason Lee, who's hanging out in a treehouse. And
he really his character traits are he really likes like Cheetos or something.
Fritos.
Fritos. Okay.
Get it right.
Yeah, that's good writing. You know.
Yeah, just loves Fritos. He's really strong and pretty chill.
I think he was sitting down with Barry Sonnenfeld and he said, "What's my motivation?" And Sonnenfeld just tosses him a bag of Fritos. And he's like, "All right, got it.
Got done.
Done."
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, they're all intertwined here. The police come, Janine Garofalo, cannot say her name, and Patrick Warburton.
Daddy Warbucks is doing what he does, which is to say, like, he's pretty funny. I don't know. I just always kind of, because of Seinfeld, I just am always going to kind of think he's funny. So, yeah, mm-hmm. He's very much doing what he does, but it was better than everything around him.
They're playing, you know, competent cop and inept cop, and she's the competent one. And so, yeah, they're trying to figure out what's going on here, and they see that there's a bullet hole, so they're a bit confused about what's going on. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, things are getting crazy. They kind of move on, and, you know, I think we get Tim comes and tries to apologize, and we see that Rene Russo and Tim are hot and heavy pretty quickly. And
that was
then,
the least believable part, is that like a 1999 Rene Russo would fall for Tim Allen.
and then also their kids both love each other as well. So
yeah,
there's your romance. Your heart out.
I love that. Yeah, there's a lot of romance. And then Jason Lee falls in love with Sofia Vergara and vice versa.
Yeah,
which was cool to see. And
so you
know,
cool.
Meanwhile, I don't even know how these guys are, but you have Tom Sizemore and Johnny Knoxville who are like convicts that broke out of prison, I'm guessing.
I think they got out legitimately. I don't know.
Okay, well, they got out of prison recently, and they meet Jason Lee at this bar in the beginning, and they're really bad guys, and they become sort of intertwined with the plot, and they're actually the big bads, kind of, I guess, which is, I don't know.
I would say just Tom Sizemore is Johnny Knoxville. Okay.
I'm Johnny Knoxville, and this is Big Trouble. And this is Toad Hallucinogenic.
I gotta say, Jackass is much better than this movie.
Yeah, Jackass is kind of fun. Jackass is one of those things where
you watch it now, it wouldn't be funny, but at the time, pretty funny.
Yeah, I always wanted to think that I wouldn't like it. Like, I always tried to think I was a little above it, but then I would watch it and just
laugh
myself hoarse. So, I don't know. It's really lowbrow, but I guess it's effective.
Yeah, you can't do too much of it either, and then it just kind of loses its...
I'll tell you a movie we're not going to cover on this is The Ringer, where Johnny Knoxville enters the Special Olympics. Yeah, that's, stay away from that one. At some point, I want to talk about this toad. I don't know when that's going to factor in.
Hey, let's just talk about it now.
Okay, so what is a toad? Like, there's just like this... everybody ends up at this house at... Tucci's house, like, and I mean pretty much everybody in the movie, Farina, Ben, like everybody's there somehow, and then there's this frog that shows up, and I don't know if this is a real thing or not. You live in Florida, so you'll tell me, but there's a hallucinogenic toad that squirts Tucci in the face, and he looks at his dog and he sees Martha Stewart's face on the dog, which is one, first and foremost, just really stupid, also kind of scary. Yeah, I just, you know, I wonder what they thought audiences' reactions to that would be. I don't know.
Just general hilariousness.
Yeah, it was like something out of like, it looked like a South Park gag or something, sort of. It's super weird. I mean, this movie is zany as hell, but even that was just like, man, what are they, like, what's their tone? Like, what are they going for? And why is Martha Stewart doing this? These were all questions I had.
Yeah, so. We didn't even list her in the really in the credits that you're talking about all these famous people, but she's in there.
And she steals the show.
As far as I'm concerned, that toad steals the show.
That's
true. Can't say I've encountered any of these, but I'm sure they exist. Mm-hmm. The dog has a real rough time with it.
Who can blame him? What else? I mean... Yeah.
The criminals all meet at the bar. They're going to steal some money. And I think the rich guy is there. Stanley Tucci is there to give some secrets or something.
Stanley Tucci is there to give secrets. Yeah.
He's got secrets on his company. And Jason Lee is there because this is the only place he can get a beer. And he can carry some stuff and get some money.
Yeah.
And they take hostages. They go back to Tucci's house. We get even more of the toad, and everybody ends up there. People are in trouble. People are tied up.
Yeah.
There's shots got to go haywire.
Yeah.
Things really escalate, and I think they have like this big old suitcase type thing that has a nuclear warhead in it, and
yes.
they continue to take that. They think the only way out of the situation is to fly to the Bahamas, so they're going to the airport with this big old warhead.
Yeah, and they decide to take Zooey Deschanel
hostage. Good idea.
Yeah, but also maybe a little creepy as well. A little sexually explicit. I don't know.
I mean, if it was any other film, maybe you would get that. You don't get that in this film.
Yeah, I guess they don't want you. They maybe act like it's not. It felt that way to me a little bit. But she is a hostage. We also get Heavy D and I think it's Omar Epps show up around this time as FBI agents.
Yep.
And
they're already on this case.
Yeah, they're on this case. Their joke is that they basically just like make up various statutes and try to outsmart people by calling it like code 2 and things like that. They do that pretty much every time they talk to someone. Felt like it was in a different movie, sort of. It did seem like sort of literary, like the dialogue maybe would have worked in a book but didn't work in real life.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that way with a lot of the stuff necessarily. In a movie, everything is happening so fast that you kind of can't keep up with it. If you're reading it in a book, you kind of can sit in it a little more.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have with this film.
Sure. Somebody else we didn't mention that's in this movie is Andy Richter in this. You know, one of the rare, like, Andy Richter acting roles. He is a security guard that is just kind of drunk. And he
has a gun or something,
though.
He has
a gun that he wasn't supposed to bring. And he like shoots, and you know, him and Putty are together for a bit. It doesn't really play any real role, but felt like it was important to bring up. Let's just kind of wind this down. They end up on the plane.
I don't know how. I mean, they get through TSA pretty easily.
Oh,
but
they pay the woman. They like just like pay people off, which again, in like a post 9/11 world, is probably the least believable part. They get on. Tim Allen somehow gets on. You know,
he runs on, you should
he
say.
Runs on. They have 45 minutes. He needs 46. I don't know. Everything works out. He throws the plane up. He throws the bomb out the window. It explodes. And,
no one dies somehow.
No one dies, which, you know, that's what happens in these kind of movies. We pick up and, you know, it's mostly a pretty happy ending, I think.
It does that thing where, you know, we're not even going to talk about the Florida Gators joke, but there's the thing at the end where they try to wrap up, like, where are these people now or what happens to them. So they're like, so-and-so, blah, 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 and did this, and that's how it works out for them. But they only do it for, like, two of the actors.
Yeah, they need to do it for everybody. We know that Tim Allen and Rene Russo are together, correct?
Yep, that's right.
And,
I think their kids are together as well.
That's going to be weird for people.
Yeah.
presents some questions. What's his face? Sofia Vergara and Jason Lee live in a treehouse? Or am I making that up?
I think you made that up, but I think they are together as well.
Okay, I felt like there was a treehouse involved. What else?
I don't know what happens to Stanley Tucci, but I'm guessing he's in trouble.
In the end, he sees Martha Stewart's head on a dog again, or like on a turtle or something. I remember that. So he's in trouble. He's going to jail.
Snake dies.
Here on Wikipedia, Arthur is handcuffed and tormented by his dog. Eddie goes to prison outside of Jacksonville but becomes friends with another dimwitted inmate. Eddie is Johnny Knoxville.
Yep.
Snake dies.
Snake is attached to that bomb when it goes off, so.
Good. That's what we want. And then Dennis Farina, he's ready to get out of there, but isn't there a gag with Dennis Farina where, like, I don't know, he keeps running into, like, goats or something?
Well, I think they're from out of town, and they're just, like, Miami is so weird. They encounter these, like, weird, they're, like, always talking about Florida Gators and this, like, trivial conversations. There's goats everywhere. There's these killer and hitman stuff going on. And
I've been to Miami. It's not that weird.
No. The farting on the plates and stuff, so. Yeah. Yeah. So I can understand why he wants to get out of there. And we didn't even mention his sidekick, did we?
No, I don't know that guy's name, so I skipped him. He must be not that famous because I don't know him. But he's there, and they're just having fun.
Yeah, Jack Keeler.
Oh yeah, Jack Keeler. He's one of the greats. And that's it. It's you know, it's a long 85 minutes. It's not. You would think that would be kind of brisk, but yeah, it goes by a long time. This movie made $8 million on a budget of $40 million. People involved are blaming September 11th. I'm blaming writing, performances, direction.
Everything else.
Dave Barry, just most of the creative people involved. And that's it, Jordan. I mean, it's bad. It's probably one of the worst movies it's definitely the worst movie I've seen this year of all the movies I've watched. I'm at probably like 60 this year.
Let me ask you. Yeah. So there's a few differences between the movie and the book. Do you think this would have made it a better movie? The ending is drastically different in the book, with Walter being left handcuffed with Arthur. Who's Walter?
Walter is... must be a different...
Oh, Patrick Warburton.
Okay, yeah.
He's with Arthur. They're stuck together.
That sounds funny.
And then Henry and Leonard fight off an escaped pet python at the airport.
That sounds like something that would have been in this version. I'm not sure that makes it any better, so I'm going to say no to that.
Oh, man. Oh, we didn't say as well that Patrick Warburton, his thing at the end is, like, at some point he's running through the airport naked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he finds out he really likes this and becomes a male stripper.
This movie is so stupid. Like, it's just, like, so stupid because...
It sounds like we're making stuff up. That's what it sounds like.
It's just, like, so... I don't wish it was any longer, certainly, but it's just, like, so poor, like, thinly plotted that, like, oh, yeah, Patrick Warburton runs naked through the airport for, like, 5 seconds because of circumstances I don't remember. Therefore, at the end, he has to become a stripper because something happened for, like, 3 seconds earlier in the movie. It's, like, the cause and effect is, I don't know, absurd, I guess, for lack of a better term. It just doesn't add up.
It's supposed to be like that. Like, that's kind of this type of book. But again, I just don't think it works in the movies at all.
Yeah, it assuredly does not.
Not in this one, at least.
Not in this one. And I don't know if I'll watch it. I don't know if Dave Barry has any other, movies based on his stuff. I'm not sure I'll check out another one. But I don't know. Your father-in-law, if that ever becomes a movie, I'll check it out.
Maybe
but.
You should go talk to him and ask.
Yeah, maybe I will, Lois. Maybe I will. I'm not even going to ask you how they would make this better because I don't think this could have been good.
Yeah, just don't make it.
The source material is bad. So like I don't even really blame the. I can't blame the cast because it's like these are relatively competent actors. So I'm not even going to ask that. But I will return to my question, Jordan. Who is the most and least tarnished by their performance in this movie?
Most tarnished, I kind of mentioned it earlier, so I guess I'll say it again. But yeah, poor Stanley Tucci, he's got a despicable role and really has nothing. It's just really degrading on every level.
It's embarrassing. I'm sure he has never watched this movie since he... I'm sure he's never seen
it. You don't think he just looks back and is like, this is some of my finest work.
I mean, that's my answer as well. It's just like, it's just so comical. And just, yeah, he's like a cartoon and buffoonish and he's sucking toes. And yeah, he's bad in it. Like, I think I don't know that the role could ever be good, but I'm not going to also say like, it's all the writing. Like, he's just not very good in it. And it's, yeah, it's fairly embarrassing. So I gotta say he's probably the most tarnished in this movie. Yeah.
Let's hear your least tarnished.
I'll say Dennis Farina. Okay. Mostly because like he's just kind of doing what Dennis Farina does in most movies he's in. Like he's always playing like a New York / Chicago mafioso type that's kind of calling the shots. And he like the jokes are bad or whatever, but like I don't know. He just like I guess I kind of like that shtick. I like what he does. So. He was sort of a welcomed addition to the movie, and he's just, like, doing his regular stuff. So, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good choice. There's a few people who I think, like, just end up fine. Like, I think Janine Garofalo is fine in this movie. Yeah. Like, she doesn't have much to do, but she doesn't stick out like a sore thumb like Stanley Tucci does. Jason Lee has a bigger role in the film, but mm-hmm. again, I don't think like it's. I think he does the best that he can with a character that just
Fritos.
Loves Fritos.
Yeah.
So what are you gonna do there?
Right.
And Gene Garofalo and Omar Epps kind of play the same role for me. They're just kind of like not in it as much. Just kind of play like the straight-laced cop kind of thing, and who just kind of either makes fun of their partner or just kind of goes along with it. So
I would say Putty is pretty good
I was going to say, okay, so let's talk about the funniest people in this film. Yeah. Like, and for me, it's, Patrick Warburton, even with all the stuff that's going on, he just makes me laugh throughout this film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I would, I thought the Farina stuff was good, but I already kind of touched on that, or I thought that was funny. Yeah, he's probably the most, like, joke, like, he, that's the only instance where they're going for humor, and I think it's sort of working, is with Patrick Warburton. The other stuff is kind of like, well, I have a relationship with these people from other movies, so I kind of just like them or appreciated seeing them. Did not like Tom Sizemore, but I've never liked Tom Sizemore in anything, so that was not especially surprising to me.
Oh, man. What a brutal, brutal role for him as well. Born in Detroit, Michigan. I didn't know that.
They can have him.
Also born the day after my birthday.
Hey, Jordan. Detroit versus everybody, you know? DVE. Right. Hey, I heard Detroit is becoming revitalized. I've been hearing that for
back from the dead.
My whole life?
It seems like it. At
how
least.
Old am I? Yeah, that's how long I've been hearing it. All right. I mean,
can we
that's
ask?
It.
Can I Go ask ahead. About what do you think about Tim Allen's performance in this film?
It's not very good. It just doesn't, there's no nuance, but like, and I kind of think Tim, well, you know this, we do home and podcast together. We sort of think that Tim Allen is an actor with some depth, and he can play emotions pretty well. Like, I think Tim Allen is generally speaking, like, an above average actor. And this is just sort of like action Tim Allen. Like, he doesn't ever have any time for emotions or anything. So he's kind of just like running around like a chicken with its head cut off most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody in this movie. So, I mean, I know earlier I said that, that Tucci was bad in addition to the source material, like his performance is bad. I'm going to give Tim Allen the benefit of the doubt and say that for him, I think that the performance is just like pretty paint by numbers. Okay. But that the writing doesn't give him a lot of room to work. You know?
Yeah. It's funny. He's, you know, he's prominent on like the posters and on the box and stuff. I don't feel like he has a very big role in this film at all. Like if you had to put people on the box for like who has the biggest role in this film.
Yeah.
Who would you put?
I mean,
I would put Tom Sizemore.
Tucci and Sizemore. I don't know.
I feel like he's in it all the time.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, maybe Jason Lee?
Yeah, I guess I get the idea that and that the poster is, like, really setting up that this is, you know, this is a movie with a lot of famous people in it, and everybody kind of gets their due, and that, like, that shows up in the plot. Like, we're following a million different people. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know, was Tim Allen the biggest star at the time? Must be, and that's why he gets the lead. But, yeah, he definitely... Well, he's like the Dave Barry surrogate, I guess. I'm guessing. Yeah. I'm assuming that's what they're doing because, like, he's a writer and Dave Barry's a writer in Miami. So I guess that's kind of the idea. But it's not like Tim Allen has, like, a lot more screen time than anybody else. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just okay.
Hmm. Big Trouble. Just okay. I don't even think it's that, but...
Well, we should talk about reviews and reception.
Let's do that.
Okay. Jordan, I have a review here from RogerEbert.com. This is written by Raj. We like to call on him. He gave it 2.5 stars out of 4.
No, wrong, yeah. Roger.
I know, yeah. I'll just read the last paragraph because that kind of summarizes his overall thoughts. But he's pretty forgiving. I think it's a little bit of... I think maybe he's buddies with Dave Barry, or he kind of likes Dave Barry's writing, so he's a little bit more forgiving. But here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
All right. This film has been directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, who made Get Shorty. It's not in that class, indeed. It seems so crowded that it sometimes feels like the casting call for an eventual picture not yet made. But it has its charms. It's the kind of movie you can't quite recommend because it's all wind up and not much of a pitch. Yet you can't bring yourself to dislike it. Disagree. A video or airplane or cable movie, originally scheduled for an autumn opening, it was pulled from release after 9/11 because it involves terrorists and a nuclear bomb. But these are terrorists and bombs from a simpler and more innocent time. The movie is a reminder of an age when such plots were obviously not to be taken seriously. It's nice to be reminded of that time. So basically, yearning for a pre-9/11 America, aren't we all?
Oh, man. I mean, there's some interesting points there, but I give it a half star out of four. How about that?
I would have trouble giving it any. Like, I mean, I guess if you have to give it a half, yeah, that's what I'm giving
half
it.
Half for putty, that's it.
Yeah, half for putty. Half because it wasn't too long. I don't know. Yeah, he's pretty forgiving, but all right. And then there's some. Here's some Rotten Tomatoes excerpts as well. So it has a 48% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is
unbelievable, really.
Too high. 54% audience score, still too high. Let's just pull some here. So from Jeff Strickler of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, in this clumsy attempt to merge farce with satire, the jokes repeatedly miss the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Amen.
Joe Layden of Variety, like an overloaded aircraft at that security-challenged airport, Big Trouble moves forward in fits and starts but never manages to achieve sufficient momentum for a smooth, satisfying liftoff.
I like the image there.
That's good writing. That's good writing. Here's a positive one. Common Sense Media, Nell Minot, sharp, funny movie for high schoolers and up. She doesn't know kids very well. She thought the killer stuff, the killer game, would appeal to the children and the Martha Stewart bits.
Unbelievable.
Here's one, the last one from zaptoit.com, which you like that website, right?
I mean, it's definitely a bookmark.
The worst thing somebody could say about Big Trouble is that it's too much like Get Shorty, which is one of the best reasons to go see the film. I could say 1,000 things that are worse about worse than that.
Adam, let me ask you.
Yeah.
So in light of watching a film like this, does this give you hope that some of the stuff that you've written or might write in the future has a chance to make it out there?
You know what? It's a good question. I do think of that. Like, sometimes when I see a TV show like God Friended Me on CBS, I think, like, okay, well, that's gotten on air, so, like, why couldn't some of my stuff eventually see the light of day? So, I mean, not really so much with this, but some things do give me hope. But being that this is, like, based on a book that was really popular, I mean, I guess anytime I see something really bad, I guess it gives me hope for my own talent and so on. But, yeah, I mean, I would say it should give your father-in-law hope, because if this can get made, then his Hope-like movie can get made.
My guess is it stops there, because, what did you say, it had a budget of $40 million and it made $8 million?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not so hot, is it? I mean, no. Do you think your father-in-law has seen this movie?
I don't know if, I think maybe he heard of it and he remembered that it didn't work well on screen.
Yeah. Well,
that's the way he said it. So
safe guess. Yeah. Is there anything else that we need to cover here?
Well, I mean, we should say,
would we recommend this to Home Improvement fans?
No, nope, I wouldn't. Not for 1 second.
I wouldn't recommend this to a soul.
I would say it was kind of filthy language wise too. There were so many GDs in there. It was crazy.
I don't notice that kind of thing, but I'll take your word for it.
Well, I mean, if you're thinking of, like, the Home Improvement type family audience, like, no way. Not in a million years. So,
well,
yeah.
Well, also that part where Tim and Renee Russo, like, it's, like, full penetration, so that was a little far. And they showed, yeah, it was weird.
That was weird. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. Man. My goodness. It's a terrible film. I think it's only PG-13, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2002, so, you know, it's anything goes. It's the Wild West of movie ratings.
All right, let's not belabor this anymore. Thank you for the people who pay for us to waste our time watching movies like this and then talking about them. We hope you enjoyed this conversation of Big Trouble. If you want to support the show going forward, you know how to do that. And yeah, I don't know. Adam, do you have anything else you want to say?
All I know is that Jordan, Tim Allen, Omar Epps, Dennis Farina, Ben Foster, Janine Garofalo, Jason Lee, Dwight Heavy D. Myers, Rene Russo, Tom Sizemore, Stanley Tucci, Adam Dietz, and Jordan Lyons are all in Big Trouble. See you next time.